Board of Adjustment meeting for Monday, June 20th, 2010. If you would stand for the pledge, and I think the flag is behind us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you would please call the roll.
Mr. Williamson?
Here.
Mr. Crackerfield?
Here.
Ms. Colley?
Here.
Ms. Johnson? Mr. Gergen?
Here.
And Mr. Rogers is absent, and Mr. Root?
Here.
We have four.
Okay, have, in consideration of the minutes, have anybody read the minutes? Are there any corrections or additions?
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Our first case is SC-10-0003, petitioner H Street Church of God. Request for special exception to expand existing church in the R2 two-family residential zone for property located on 605 Northwest 8th Street.
Good evening. My name is Patty Hitchcock. I'm a senior planner with the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. As the chair indicated, this is a request of the 8th Street Church of God.
Excuse me. Well, I failed. I overlooked something. We must swear everyone in, if you would, please. Thank you.
The property is located at 605 Northwest 8th Street, and the request is for expansion of an existing church in the R2 zoning district. For a little closer look on the aerial, their property is bounded by 8th Street on the south, goes around these duplexes up 6th Terrace, and takes a jog down and picks up this parcel of land over here. On the map, this looks like it's Northwest 7th Avenue. However, in 1996, the City of Ocala vacated a portion of 7th Avenue, all of 7th Avenue from the northern portion of this western parcel south to 8th Street is now in the ownership of the 8th Street Church of God, and half of the parcel north of that parcel line is now owned by the church, and the other half in this location went to these property owners. There is a misalignment between the aerial and the property map, so it's unclear right now as to whether or not the carport for the church vans, whether it is on their property or off their property, as well as any setback issues with this building. When they come in for the minor site plan approval, assuming the special exception is approved, we will be able to better define the location of these structures in relationship to the property line. Their request is to expand the church by adding an accessory building. They're looking to add a church hall roughly in this location. And again, as I indicated, they will need to submit for site plan approval through city staff and comply with all code requirements as it relates to that site plan approval. The property lies within a low-density residential area, which is zone R2. There are a number of other churches in the area. The area is characterized by residential uses as well as church uses. In the lavender, you can see the number of churches. There are 13 in roughly a half square mile area from US 27 as the northern boundary, Pine Avenue on the east, Silver Spring Boulevard on the south, and Martin Luther King Boulevard Martin Luther King Avenue on the west. This is a photo looking north. This is the part of the existing church and the existing access drive. This is the parcel to the west. This is that western parcel on the west side of what would have been Northwest 7th Avenue right away before it was vacated. I apologize for this photo, but it was humid looking east in the morning. This is the parcel property directly adjacent to the east side of the church. It's a duplex. Looking east along Northwest 8th Street, this is the intersection of 441, and you can see one of the numerous churches in the distance over here. This is the property directly across Northwest 8th Street to the south, and then looking west along 8th Street to property to the southwest. This is standing at the northern corner of the church property, looking southwest back towards the church. And looking north, this is roughly the property limit of the church, and this is the property adjacent to the north. And this is looking towards the northwest corner, and this is the carport you can see on the aerial. And then looking northeast, looking across the pair. The staff recommendation I will submit for the record for this hearing, and it contains factors and standards on which the special exception should be granted or denied. Staff is recommending approval of this special exception with two conditions. One, that they would submit a site plan for the additional church hall, and in discussion with the board, a time frame should be established for compliance with that site plan condition. Do you have the answer any questions you may have?
I have a question on parking. I didn't notice that there is a building limitation mentioned on this particular case, and I wanted to know if when they remove the shed, that's reported that's going to be moved, is that going to increase the parking spaces up to 17?
All of the parking presently is in grass. Okay. They are not expanding the sanctuary, and the church hall will be an accessory use to that sanctuary. That was something that we would look at in more detail with the site plan approval. We are proposing that they provide additional paved parking, although that is something we can also look at with the site plan approval. That's probably in good condition.
Any of the issues involving the parking, et cetera, would be a function of the site plan, would certainly be taken care of within that process, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, did they buy additional property, or was this property already theirs?
They have owned, I'm not sure the date that they actually took ownership to this property. This parcel became owned by the Church of God. I don't know if it was the 8th Street Church of God. It may have gone through a name change. Mm-hmm. But this property was acquired in the 80s. When we first began speaking with the church elders about the installation of a church hall, we needed to do some research as to what was the status of this parcel. And that's when we determined that there was a city council resolution from 96 to vacate it.
I'm just a little confused on, maybe I don't understand the ordinance, but I'm a little confused on why they would have to go for a special exception if they already owned the property and there was already a church there.
We made the determination that since the original church, the church has been there for some time, and since it did not go through a special exception at its inception, that the addition of the church hall was an expansion of a non-conforming use, and that we should go through the special exception process.
Is there,
was a very conservative
interpretation. Do you have any ordinances that support your theory?
What, that they needed to go through the special exception?
Because they're expanding?
It was a very conservative interpretation of the...
So it was a fictitious interpretation if it was conservative. I mean, where does it exist? What are you citing?
If we go to the non-conforming section of the code... It is a non-conforming use of land under section 122-173 because it is a church use in the R2 zoning district, which requires a special exception.
But it was already there prior to?
It was already there, but no such non-conforming use shall be enlarged or increased or extended or occupy a greater area of land than was occupied at the effective date of the ordinance from which this chapter is derived. So adding an additional building and adding the church hall use, it was an expansion of a non-conforming use.
But didn't it say if they expand? Read that. I thought what it said there in the ordinance was if they expand the property. They're not expanding the property. It's the existing property. I mean, I hope I didn't interpret it incorrectly, but I tried to read it. And what I found was that that's...
It says no such conforming use shall be enlarged or increased or extended or occupy a greater area of land than was occupied at the effective date.
Let's talk about the use. You know, that would indicate a size of building change.
That's one.
But from the standpoint of our decision here today, this building is not a function of increased population of use of the church. It's just a more... user-friendly use for the same congregation that's been using this church for some extended period of time. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, and that's why we recommend it.
I mean, in my mind, our determination is based on suitability of the use in this location.
Yes,
sir. You've answered my only question.
And I have one more. It says here that a traffic impact statement is required. However, you said earlier that there was no increase in occupancy load because there was no change in the parking requirements. So why would you need a traffic impact statement if you said that the parking requirements weren't going to be affected?
I think that what we require on the site plan, it's a traffic impact statement. It's not a traffic study. It's simply an indication, a calculation as to whether or not there's any additional traffic. And that statement may very well be that there is no traffic.
So that's a statement that's generated by the applicant. It's not a statement that has to be a fee for service statement. They don't have to pay for that statement.
No, sir. It's an informational comment on the site plan.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Did they have to pay the city for this special exception hearing? Now, even though this church was in existence prior to the special exception rule, correct?
The best of my research, yes.
I just have a problem with them having, I mean, I'm in favor of what they're doing. I just feel bad that they have to spend money to come here if they've been a church since 1925 and all they're going to do is build it a little bit better facility.
There's a church since 1925.
Well, there's been a church there, right?
Yeah. But
the expansion of that church ordinance calls for this.
I just want to make sure it does.
I mean, as she read it, I think I heard it.
Okay, all right.
I believe this was constructed in 1950.
Okay.
Nevertheless, the expansion warrants the special exception.
Okay. That was opposition.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any other questions of staff?
I've got one question.
Sure.
Are there any comments from neighbors in favor of or against the approval of this?
Yes, ma'am. We do have one letter included in the agenda packet of the support. I received no other cell phone.
Does anyone else have questions to say? Would the applicant like to make their presentation?
I just want to say on behalf of the community, I'm the pastor of the church, and I thank you for coming out this afternoon. We're going to We're planning to do a whole lot of things for the young people too. As you know, that particular side of Ocala, we need lots of programs to really get our youth together. And that was one of the things that inspired us to make this expansion. We just thank you all for coming out.
And before you sit down, do we get his name and address?
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me, sir. You should give us your name and address and swear in that everything you said would be the truth. The lady behind you will take care of that for you, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
I've got a question for Pastor. How many members do you have?
Presently, right now, the church at one point had about 270 members. But as you know, as time progresses, you know, people pass away, some people move away. Right now, presently, we're right at about 100 people.
So your building that you're doing will have no impact on the number of people coming or going. It's just to make it serve the purpose of the existing congregation better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Reeves has a question for you, sir.
No question. Just move approval.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
May I ask, is there a time frame in which
you would like that to be submitted? Yes, in that case, I want to back up and ask you a question. At what point, do you have a site plan?
What we have was the minor site plan.
Do you have a building plan?
Yes, sir.
So you have a set of plans. In other words, you're prepared to move forward reasonably soon?
Yes, sir.
Is 1 year from today plenty of time for you to have your project completed?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Move 1 year.
Move 1 year.
And I've got a question for Mr. Jurgensen. Is that including the conditions set forth by the city staff?
Yes, ma'am. I'm the fellow that made the motion.
Mr. Reeves made the motion.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
It is been seconded, right?
I seconded it.
Mr. Reeves?
Aye.
Mr. Carrasco?
Aye.
Ms. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Jurgens?
Aye.
Ms. Colley?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson.
Aye. Congratulations. You have your special exception. You can now move forward.
Thank you. Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck, Pastor. Well, take care. Enjoy.
All right, how you doing?
That's nice.
Good to see you.
Oh, good to see you. Thanks, sir.
All right.
This is going to be our conference venue. Would they still tear down chambers?
Ladies and gentlemen, our next case is SC10-0004, Trinity World Outreach Ministries.
This is a request to establish a church in the R2 zoning district. The request is from Trinity World Outreach Ministries with Patrick Adams as the agent. The property is located at 1105 Southeast Sanchez Avenue in this location. With a 20-foot setback requirement. Again, there's a misalignment between the aerial and the map. We cannot measure that. That does not have an impact. Whether or not this building has a required setback does not impact the special exception, but if it is a non-conforming structure, it could have an impact if the property were damaged. If a hurricane comes through or if there were a fire, a non-conforming structure could only be built back in a conforming conforming state. So if it's too close to 11th Street, they would need to move the building further south in order to rebuild.
Now, that would be a condition that would have nothing to do whether special exception is granted or not, right?
Yeah, it does. But I raised the issue because they're looking at acquiring this property if special exception is granted, and I thought that that's something they should know.
They would want to know that, yeah. Okay.
It could have an impact on financing for them, and certainly not unless they have a building that is burnt down, they can't, you know, rebuild on the foundation. But the conditions are that they would install a 10-foot landscape buffer or 4-foot landscape buffer with a wall along these property lines where they are adjacent to residential. The resurfacing and restriking of the 11 parking spaces, including one handicap parking space for a total of 11. Identification of the existing building setbacks I covered. There's a sign structure which they may be intending to use. It appears it may be in the right-of-way. We would want the buffers and the parking area repaired prior to the occupancy of the building. We're limiting the maximum occupancy of the building to 55 persons. Parking code requirements are one space for every 5 persons. If they have 11 parking spaces, they only have enough parking for 55 people. If in working on this sketch, they discover they only have 10 spaces, or then they would be limited to only 50. Services and associated study sessions would be restricted to Sundays, religious holidays, and Wednesday evenings after 6 p.m. The special exception would be granted to the subject church filing this petition. And again, we would ask the board to establish a reasonable time period for of the special exception. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have one question. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
All right. Does the special exception for the hours of worship and the days of worship and Bible study and so forth, does that also take into consideration the exceptions and temporary usage from Section 122-282 for religious revivals, fundraisers, carnivals, and cookouts? Because I'm concerned with on-the-street parking, if there's only 11 spaces.
With the restriction, the uses under 122-282 would not be available to them.
Okay.
You know, this subject of managing the hours of church has come up on more than one occasion, and historically we have come to the conclusion that who knows what these hours are and who intends to enforce this. For that reason, we have chosen not to make that a condition. Now, that's not to say we can't do that, but I mean, how is anybody going to know, and who is going to manage that requirement?
I have reviewed some of the previous special exceptions on churches.
They have been there. You're exactly right. Now, I don't think you'll find any of those in recent time, because I think we've come to the conclusion as a board that nobody would understand it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, nobody would exercise it. And if there were problems brought on by the conduct of the people and the use of that, which could be some form of nuisance or noise or other arranged to cover that by, I just view that as a borderline impossible condition to manage.
It would be a code enforcement issue. If the evidence would be parking on the street, on Friday night, if they decided to have maybe bingo on Friday night, so it would end up being a code enforcement issue.
Well, and to some extent, it seems to be restrictive in the sense of if a problem doesn't occur, then we're not solving a problem, and therefore, but if a problem does occur without that. In other words, if they become a nuisance, and they were now, obviously that's been a church and they've been off and on for many, many years. Apparently it's worked reasonably successfully, and I don't know that we've had any problems along that line, but I'm always concerned about making a condition of any of these special exceptions that has almost no enforceability in a sense. If you call the police, they wouldn't know if an issue arose, but I mean, so it's, if it didn't produce a code violation notification, it would be a moot point. Okay. Mr. Roos.
My suggestion would be, number one, is that we require the applicant, whoever makes the motion, to require the applicant to record in the public records the special exception with the hours on there so that the neighbor could have something to look at and eliminate the ambiguity or the question mark over the head, and thus, and the people who are going to enforce it, if it's probably not a problem, no one's going to do anything, but about, you know, they start to have sock hops there or something like this that go long into the night, and not necessarily this applicant, but any applicant. This is, you know, that's something, in my opinion, that is inappropriate for this particular neighborhood since it's so close in. If you're in a strip shopping center, you know, if the landlord will put up with you, you know, knock yourself dead. But there's a lot of people that sleep real close to this place and probably don't want to be disturbed. And numerous churches do have outdoor music till 11, 12 at night.
I think the noise ordinance would have solved
that. I don't know, and they get into that, and the police won't show up for that either.
Like I say, if you try to get the noise ordinance enforced, you got your work cut out for you. I've been there.
You can't get it enforced in Ocala.
It's just really problem. Not like to hear about that, but nevertheless.
So that's the thing, you know.
We could make that a condition, in which if apparently the applicant is, well, we'll hear from the applicant sooner or later. Mr. Rasko has a question.
How do you determine which church gets a buffer around it, which one doesn't? We just approved one without a buffer, didn't we? What's your?
The church on 8th Street is existing and has been existing.
Well, this was a church.
It was a church.
And a daycare without a buffer.
It's been a daycare for 20 years.
I'm just curious. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I mean, I try to make everybody come in here and have the same rules. And, you know, I'm just wondering why that church needs a buffer and this one, the first one doesn't need a buffer and this one does.
The church that was there in 1986 should have been required to have a buffer. The daycare that was there...
Well, we're just expanding one. It would have been a good opportunity to make them have a buffer, wouldn't it?
And we are requiring them on 8th Street.
But it wasn't in here. It was in there for a buffer?
Yeah, the parcel, and that will be picked up when they come in for the site plan approval.
Okay, because I don't remember being in one of the conditions like this one.
No, it wasn't listed, but they have to come in for site plan approval, and as part of the site plan approval, I believe I had it in the body of the recommendation, as part of their site plan approval, they will need to show a buffer adjacent to the residential areas for where they are expanding. I did not go back and have them retrofit the existing area where the church is ongoing. There was a church here, the record showing 86, however, in 1988...
There was a daycare for a long time.
Daycare, that did not require the buffer. Now that we're going back to a church use, I made the recommendation
I think to address one of Mr. Carrasco's issues about being equal. I think all special exceptions stand alone. And I think the proximity of the residential area and the lack of in this case, certainly warrants that. For one thing, the church is operating it.
That's an alley, though,
hours,
isn't it?
Huh?
It's an alley, though, isn't it?
No, sir.
That little strip of land's not an alley?
That's part of the alley.
It used to be for garbage collection.
There's no
pavement. In any case, all special exceptions stand alone. And,
no, it's not an alley.
Okay. Are there any other questions, Mr. Crasco, from you?
No, I'm fine.
Anybody else have
Thanks
questions?
Thanks for the answers.
Yes, sir.
None for me.
Would the applicant like to speak?
I'm not the applicant, but...
Is the applicant here?
I think
initially the applicant would probably be the first one to speak, and then the public, any of the public may speak it. And you will need to, if you'd like to speak, would you please step up, identify yourself, and swear in, please?
Do you swear and affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and the truth?
The only thing that I would like to say is, first of all, thank you for at least considering our application, and appreciate any and all questions that you have. And I just hope that you'd be able to give us these exemptions so that we can just continue to do what we believe the Lord has given our hearts to do. We plan to have very little impact on the surrounding community because we're a conservative congregation. We don't have outdoor like you were concerned about, you know, outdoor music and all of that. We're very conservative. We just plan to be a part of the community, and hopefully we can be an asset to the community. But our desire is to just have a place of worship, and yes, we will make the improvements that are necessary so that the property would also be an asset to the community. We're doing some landscaping and, you know, different things that will make the place attractive. But our desire is that we would please give us the permission so that we can continue.
You're aware of the expectations of the city, and all of them are fine with you?
Yes.
Okay.
I spoke to Pat, and she told me that there would be some things that we would have to do. And like I said, our objective is to become part of the community. And if we can, whatever we need to do to make the building appealing, whatever requirements we have to adhere to, we're willing to do that.
I just want to make sure that we have a clear understanding on number four of that, on the staff recommendations. It says that study sessions shall be restricted to Sundays, religious holidays, and after 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. That means that a women's Bible study group can't meet there at noon on Wednesdays. Is that on noon on Tuesdays or Mondays or Thursdays or Fridays? Is that correct? So if you want to have a Bible study group that meets for lunch on Monday, you got to go to Piccadilly. You ain't going to have it there.
Just for clarification, the building cannot be used at any time for anything else other than what's on here?
The way I read it...
That is one of the conditions at this point.
It says there that services and associated study sessions shall be restricted to Sundays, religious holidays, and after 6 p.m. on Wednesday. So that means Sunday, Christmas,
Thanksgiving,
Easter, and every Wednesday after 6, and every Sunday is the only time you can use that building.
Yeah, one other question.
That's not me, that's her.
Can we have a choir rehearsal?
Unless it's on Wednesday or Sunday, or Christmas. So I just want to make sure you understand what they're saying here. I'm not, you know, I just want to make sure you understand.
That was the purpose of asking you the question. Are you prepared to meet the expectations?
Yes.
I mean, you may state your position. I'm not telling you anything. I don't want you to...
Well, right now, you know, we're willing, to be honest with you.
You want a building. You're going to agree to anything.
We're willing to do whatever is necessary for us to...
Does that allow you to accomplish what you're going to do? Yes.
You got no women's groups that want to meet. I'm a member of a church for 30-some years, and we do meet during the week.
Our congregation, we have 32 people on the road. And that consists of 10 families. And that's where we are now. We're very small, and... Like I said, our primary objective is to just have this place of worship.
Okay. And if those conditions meet all your needs, then I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
you, sir. Well, excuse me, wait a minute. Are there any questions from anybody on the board of this gentleman?
Well, they said there was 10 families. How many, there's a small parking lot in front.
Okay, come up here, sir.
Sir, if you would like to speak, anyone, you may speak. You will need to come up and identify yourself with an address and swear in, and you may...
Bunch of notes.
In order.
Bunch of notes, letters on there.
For us to respond to that, you will need to...
You have to give your name and address and swear. That was
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
but the truth? I was just wondering about the parking space. You said you had 10 families. You know, just wondering, there is a small parking lot in front, but are they going to park all over the place?
No, sir.
I mean, even the daycare center went on my lawn, but I didn't mind, you know, it's all right, you know. As long as they don't tear it all up. That's all I was wondering.
Yeah, we're a very small congregation.
Okay.
And,
okay. All right.
Is there any other member of the public who would like to speak? Please come up and state your name, please, sir.
My name is Adam Langenmeyer. Can you spell that? LANGENMAYR. 734 Southeast 11th Street.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. First of all, I just wanted to say that my wife and I have been concerned about what this property would turn out to be over the last, since the daycare left a couple years ago. And I think that overall we're very much in support of having a church there. It's probably the best thing that could probably go there. I just wanted to express, so I want to say that overall we're in support of a church going there. But I wanted to express just a couple concerns. We live just to the east. Or the property just to the east there. Couple concerns. One that my wife had was just that there wouldn't be, you don't have any intention, it doesn't sound like you do, of having any sort of a halfway house there or people living on and permanently on the residence. Okay, we just wanted to make sure about that. What else? And I think we've kind of alleviated the rest. I mean, if you guys, you know. Oh, that's right. You mentioned that there was going to be some sort of a landscaping on the east side bordering our property, right? And it would be either a 4-foot wall or a 10-foot, not a wall, but a landscaping hedge row or something.
A 10-foot wide landscape buffer.
Okay.
Or 4 feet with a wall.
10-foot wide, okay. Or 4 feet with a wall. Okay. Do you understand?
There's a large shrub here.
Yeah, that actually is pretty much... As far as our survey is concerned, we own kind of right down the middle of that hedge, like the inside. Is that right? They own the whole hedge?
It's their hedge.
Okay, that full hedge is there. We believe it's theirs. And then, you know, it kind of goes right on our property. But, so she wanted to know. Does that answer your question? What was the other thing? Parking, we talked about that. Oh, and then, if they wanted to, in the future, change the days that they were able to use the property, a non-religious holiday on a Monday, whatever, how would they have to go about?
Well, they would be required to come to request another special exception.
Okay, so we'd have to do this process again. Excellent. Are you good? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to speak?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, this gentleman will, he's up first, we'll allow him, and then we'll let, and you may speak.
My name is Pat McBride.
The address?
3549 Southeast 41st Place, Allen, 344.
Can you swear and affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
else? Yes. I'm the owner of the building, and we've used the building since 1988, purchased in 1989. It was a church before us. Before that, it was a child care center that South Castello had from the bakery. Before that, it was a church the whole time. It was built in two phases, the main sanctuary, and then the smaller section. I'll let you see it from there, where the preacher minister used to live with his family. That is a buffer there that was already put in previously through, special exception hearing, things of that nature. There is also a buffer all along here, more than 10 feet. That was required to use that fence line there. That this was an old cartage route way back that you were pointing out. And I'd be more than glad to answer any questions. Previously, when we took the building and made it into a daycare, the church, which was Bread of Life, and they moved and built one up at Anthony, they used this parking for extra parking and just floated in there. So that alleviated keeping everybody off the streets. And I don't know if that's their intention or if that's allowed or if it's okay. Because being that was a playground for us, it wouldn't be for the church. And at one point, they even had an extra building for Sunday school on here, portable, only because they were growing so much. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be more than glad to answer those.
Any questions of the board?
Sure. None for me.
Thank you. Pam?
Well, I'm
Gushing and Beer.
And can you spell that, please?
GISELASEHIGHIGHBEARD. Yeah, that's my married name.
Your address?
723 Southeast Summer Street, and right up the street.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, or will you have some other statement?
Okay, I am not dealing with it. I did like the children's playing thing. That was, it was nice. It wasn't that many cars. It was only when you picked them up, and they were just gone. But with, I don't know how many are they going to be in the congregation, how many cars they're going to be parked and out around, and why can't they make it a play thing for children for the street? They don't have no place to play. Why can't the city make it a playground? A soccer stadium, football, anything for the kids.
Well, ma'am, the
why another church?
The property is owned by, not owned by the city, so the city does not have the right to deem its use necessarily.
Right, but they could now, buy it.
Well, they could buy it. That's yes, they could. That is not the purpose of our meeting today. I mean,
I know.
You certainly may explain why you choose to want one or the other. I'll ask you this. Have you lived there when it was a church before, or you even lived there only when it was daycare?
When it was a daycare.
Well, your concerns about the parking and the number of people have been addressed very specifically to the times they can use it, to the number of parking places they have, and all this is made known to the public and also apparently if this is granted would go on public record, so that if they exceed these uses, there would be a way for them to be told that they're abusing their special exception and restrict from doing that. So I don't think you have to be concerned about the fact of they only have 11 parking places with a possibility of 10. It limits it to 55 to 50 people and very few times of use. Certainly your opinion is equal as anyone else, but we don't have the right to tell anyone how to use their property.
No.
And if the use of their property is within...
But then rezoning it...
No, ma'am, but this is not a rezoning. This is a special exception which would allow this particular church to use it as they have agreed to, which is quite restrictive in time. If they chose to leave and somebody else came, they do not, no one else has the ability to come in and do that. It would require another special exception, another hearing. So you can be safe in the sense they have agreed to and are restricted to the things of the use of the time being Sunday, religious holidays, and Wednesday evenings. Other than that, they don't have any... I don't think we have the right to tell them what their religion is, so therefore we can't tell them what their holidays are. So, me not knowing all religions...
Well, why is it so secret what religion it is?
Well, I don't think it's... I don't think we have the right to ask them that, quite frankly.
Is it going to be whatever?
Well,
why wouldn't we have the right to do that? Of course we do.
Well, I don't think we can control religion in this country. I happen to be Protestant myself.
I agree with you completely that
we're a Christian organization. We're not affiliated with the Catholic Church. We are what's called a non-denominational church. But our belief...
Non-denominational, that you would have to explain to me.
I'll explain that to you.
It means like they're not Baptists, they're not Methodists, they're Christians. They're Christian Protestants, but they're not, they don't...
We're not affiliated. I'm an ordained Baptist.
I can say too, I make some religions up, but nobody can tell me. Then it's my own religion. I mean,
well,
that would be...
I'm a Baptist seminary, but we're not legally affiliated with any denomination. So we have to identify ourselves as non-denominational.
Well, I can declare, I'm going to make a church up right in my house.
They're not sending any money to some organization 1,000 miles away. They're keeping all the money here locally.
Yeah. Yeah. We say that they're a Christian church.
What, you got to tax them?
Yeah, they're religious.
Tax them, no.
Good.
So how are you going to make money?
Mr. McBride, I said I'd make money in this.
You know, our decision today is the suitability of the use of that church. And that's the, those are the issues.
Are you going to make property money?
No. We have nothing to do with the profit. They will not be taxed if they're a church, to the best of my knowledge. Any monetary issues between the church and their landlord, this is about the use of what they would do there and the conduct that would occur and the time and the people that would be there. Those are the things that would impact you and the other neighbors and the city in itself. This has nothing to do with money at all. We don't have any idea whether they have any money or whether they're, you know.
Well, yeah,
no. It's not about money. It's about their impact on the neighborhood. Would their conduct there be detrimental to your ability to live in your home?
That's right. Will that devalue the property of all the other people on this?
Well, that's been a church or a daycare for many, many years, and I don't think the use of this...
It was a long time ago.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, I have no perception that's an effect of the value of the house that adjoins it. Now,
are they buying or leasing the property?
I really don't know, but the truth is that's really not a function of this decision today either, whether they own it. No, they have identified what they're going to do. They have accepted the conditions of which the city respects. Now, think about it. I mean, expects of them. Whether they own it or rent it doesn't have any impact on the adjoining neighbors. It appears to me that I begin to hear that they perhaps might like to buy it, but they don't own it yet. So that, in reality, that could change, and if they did buy it, that wouldn't change their special exception as long as it was the same church. I believe that to be correct. Now, am I right, Pete?
They're going to be allowed to sing and that stuff and whatever?
They would be able to
do that. And all that stuff.
They might be able to do that. Within the time...
Then the city's going to have to pay me to do double windows.
I don't know. I'm not sure that noise would come outside of that building appreciably any different than the children, would it?
It may be all right.
Is there...
No, it's not for me.
Okay.
I'm not a Christian.
So. Well, that's okay.
I'm against the church.
Okay.
They got a good project with you. Maybe they'll switch you.
Yes, sir. Would you like
that? I don't think
so.
There'll be a challenge.
I don't know if this will alleviate her fears at all, but what recourse as neighbors would we have if we felt like or she felt like they were encroaching on her property, or parking became excessive, or the congregation swelled to a size that...
Well, you have anything that exceeds the definition of these restrictions that are put on it.
Right.
You would be able... They would turn into code violations.
Okay.
So if they can be determined that they, in fact, if they were conducting themselves outside of the conditions of this special exception, code enforcement would serve them with a code violation notice. They would have to appear and defend their conduct.
Okay.
Now, I can't tell you whether that would happen or not. It doesn't appear. Apparently the only time you have to be concerned at all is Sunday, Wednesday, and probably several other days of the year. It appears to be controlled, and as has been brought up at this, I think probably if this special exception is granted, one of the conditions that we as a board will probably address is to make it a requirement that it be recorded in the public, in the clerk's office, which would make it a public record for anybody to determine exactly what the restrictions were. It would not require anybody's opinion. They could use that document to provide with code enforcement. Here's the restrictions I accepted. They're in violation of that.
Hey.
Yes, ma'am.
I thank each and every person that is in here for the support that we are getting and the honest clear decision. But I am really here to answer Mrs. Me? Yes.
Bear.
You were talking about taxes. All the members of Trinity World Outreach, we pay taxes. churches do have state fence.
And they should. They should.
But we work with the state.
Then we wouldn't be the four.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you for a second, because that gentleman over there owns the property, and the property taxes are going to be paid on that property unless the church buys it. The only thing that doesn't happen is there's no sales tax on the rent. So let the record be very clear that he is paying, and that building's been empty, and if all these people in the community would prefer an empty building, they should have got the checkbook out and they could put what they wanted to there.
Anyway, our decision today has nothing to do with the taxes. Have we heard from all the public who would like to speak?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
And my question is for Mr. McBride as the owner. You didn't make it clear whether you're in support of it being a church once again, being the owner and knowing that it was a church once upon a time, daycare, the whole history of the building.
And as other people have stated, I believe it could work either in a head of successfully work this either. And if you look at the building from the picture that was up there previous, it was built to be a church. It's an awesome building. And I've had nothing but good memories, even though they were in the shop there still. So I think it, you know,
it was a good time, yeah.
Definitely. We had a lot of fun with it. But, you know, I believe it can be just as successful. And it's got so much history. It was amazing when we first started accepting children in there. We had parents that were baptized there, married there, that kind of thing. But there's not a lot of positive that can be taken out of the property as a church also.
Question for Ms. Hitchcock.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. It does say that the services and associated study sessions shall be restricted, but Mr. McBride mentioned that there is a partial residence where the...
Used to be.
Where there's kind of a rectory. Is that still available? I mean, is that still available?
We use it as an office kitchen to feed the children. There's a restroom. There's a shower in there.
So what I'm getting at is there's really no restrictions here that says that one person, like the pastor, couldn't actually be living on the property.
Well, this pastor wouldn't be living on the property. No.
Okay, it just doesn't say.
Of course.
Any staff recommendation.
And I would discuss that with other staff, but dwelling units are permitted in the zoning district, and they don't require a special exception.
Well, that's why I was asking.
It's definitely a unique piece of property. Over the years, I've had, you know, people, as we used to, inquire about if they could have it for residential purposes.
Quick question. Rich Cross. Go ahead.
If they decided to, 5 years from now, if they purchased the property and they decide later to build an additional building, they would have to go through this special exception.
Anything they do outside of the commission's special exception period would require some other form of action that would create a public hearing in some fashion. Mr. Cross, got a question?
Yeah, Ms. Hitchcock, is there any way that in the ordinances that currently exist, is there any way that we can limit the parking to on-site and eliminate any potential? I mean, I'm listening to what the neighbors are saying. I think what the neighbors are saying is they don't want people parking in their yard. And I feel the pain whenever there's an event, like a parade or whatever, and they get in the ditch when it's raining, they tear it up or whatever. But is there anything in the ordinance that you could put that there would be, all the parking will be limited to on that property, or they rent someplace else to park?
I believe under the special exception regulations, you can make that a condition of approval if there would not be any off-site parking. They do have the play area. But any use of that grass area parking would be subject to approval of the city engineer.
Part of the motion, we can adjust those requirements.
Well, and listen, I feel his pain. I think he's going to agree to whatever conditions we put forward because he wants to have that church. But based on my knowledge in volunteering at church, I think he's going to limit himself dramatically by Bible studies and small group sessions throughout the week in that facility. But I'm also listening to the neighbors that they don't want people parking in their yard. They don't want people parking in the street. My philosophy would be to maybe bend a little bit on the days that they could use that facility in exchange for on-site parking. I think that that's what I'm hearing from the neighbors. And the neighbors, correct me if I'm wrong, but that church is not going to be successful, and it's going to be a pain 3 months from now, a month from now, 2 months from now. Well, it's going to grow, but I want to limit it right now to parking on that property.
We could just, that can be part of the motion.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm also understanding that there's going to be other needs that that church has, like choir practice. Are they going to do practice an hour before church?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to make it successful.
Right. I agree, and I think that the parking issue, because, you know, Alex is directly, and Mama's directly across the street, is probably more of an issue. That kind of hedgerow kind of buffers us a little bit. But definitely, I think that would be good, and I, it sounds like they're, you know, seem to be expected to do that anyway. But I think our only our biggest concern, and I don't know if we can put this in there now, is just, you know, down the road, maybe they don't want to now, but maybe down the road, if they purchase the property, you know, that they would, you know, build an additional, you know, something with people living there that, you know, like a halfway house type situation, something like that.
Well, I'm concerned about that, and I, one of the questions that I wanted to, that I didn't ask because I felt comfortable with the Reverend was, I'm not in favor of any kind of halfway house at that location.
Right.
You know, a period, exclamation point, and that's not in the deal at all.
Right. And I kind of, you alleviated my concerns when you said you got to have another hearing
right.
for that, so I would
right.
believe if that happened, I would be here for that.
Sure. Yeah. These conditions specifically restrict right. them to their uses, so that's what you're... Hang on. Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion with approval with the condition that the special exception get recorded in the public records, and number two, that there be no off-site parking associated with any use of this facility.
Can I second it for discussion?
You may second it.
I'll second it for discussion, and I think it's a good idea to have no on-site parking, but I think the hours are extremely restrictive.
He agreed to those.
Well, he agreed to it.
So let's let him worry about his problem. And
he's made his motion. Are you willing to second that as made?
I have one question. If we decide, you know, that we need changes, all we have to do is apply for another exception.
That's correct. We go the same process.
Hang on.
Yeah. Right? Because really, I understand the concerns of our neighbors-to-be, and I want y'all to know that if we do anything, that's outside of what we're going to hear. You know, we will come and we'll discuss it again. Because
well, certainly when you do that, you'll have a history of your conduct. They'll know what to expect.
Exactly.
So as long as you can survive that. So we have a motion. We have a second. Do we have any further discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
She had a question, I think.
Oh,
she was confirming.
I had a question.
Okay.
Someone in response to Mr. Carrasco's question, if I may, with regard to no off-site parking. We are requiring them to submit to us a sketch showing the alignment of the paving spaces. They could include in that sketch an overflow parking scenario on that grass area that we could look at and approve. And that way, if it becomes a problem, we're able to implement that without them having to come back to the board.
Is that your question?
Yeah. But anything to do with the expansion of hours and services will have to come back to this board.
And unless the board addresses that.
I think the applicant has chosen to accept it. The neighbors have accepted. I think we...
Except me.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any other question?
No.
Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Ruth?
Aye.
Mr. Carrasco?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Durbin?
Aye.
Ms. Colley?
Aye.
Mr. Lane?
Aye. You have your special exception. You may go forward.
Awkward. You know what
I'm doing? Oh, God. Do you have any old business?
Thank God.
Wait a minute. You just said, thank God. You're not Christian.
I just like you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Do we have any old business? We're going to adjourn this meeting. Is there anything you want to talk about? Yeah, we got to have
an election of offices. Election of offices.
I don't know what's going on. I'm working on it.
Do you know that the electric is moving the fire service fee over to the ad valorem taxes?
Nothing to do with me.
That's where they ought to be. But anyway, that's, that has nothing to do with us.
Nothing to do with me.
We have to hold an election of officers. We don't have a chairman. Vice chairman's term expired. Do we have any nominations for officers?
I'm going to make a motion to consider Richard Williamson as the chairman.
Second.
I'm sorry, what?
Who's second?
Was this a motion we
second?
Vote?
Yeah, there was a motion.
We have a motion. Sorry, we have a second?
Yeah.
All right.
You're putting us down one by one?
Right. No. You see how well I fumble along. That's okay. If you can put up with that, I guess I can too. Now we need a vice chairman.
And I make a motion that Mr. Roos be our vice chair since he's back. Welcome back.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Welcome back.
Throw your money into the bus. Yeah. You got to go take somebody with you.
Move adjourned.
All right.
Being adjourned.
You get these books back.
I'll bring my back to somebody. I'll drop my book off. You got anything under control in the neighborhood over there?
Yeah.
Not much of mine leaving you alone? Being good to you?
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
You too. Welcome back.
I had all y'all. I got rid of it.